Chapter 19, the island of Jambudvipa, text number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kim Duskarel Na Tatubish Tapo Brakel Dana Dibir Ba Bhujaina Falguna Na Yatra Narayana Pada Pankaja Smriti Pramush Tatishayandriya Otsabai. Kim Duskare na Pratibish Tapo Bratel. Danari Deva Diva Dujaina Falguna. Yatra Narayana Pada Pankaja Smriti Tamushtati Shayandriyo Shabat Hindu Tushkarerna Pratidishta Povrate Vadyu Jaina Falguna Nayatra Narayana Parapakancha Smriti Tamush Tisayendri Otsavat Smriti Karerna Pratubhista Povrate Dhanadi Girvadyu Jaina Falgunam Nayatra Narayana Parapankaja Smriti Pramushta Tishayendriyotsavata Sarena Pradubhishta Povrate Nanadi Viva Dujaina Falguna
Nayatra
Narayana Parapankaja Kim Duskare Nai Pratutishta Povrate Dana Dibhirva Dutya Jaina Falguna Any messages? Kim Duskarerna Pratubhishta Povrate Dana Dibhirva Dutya Jaina Falguna Nayatra Narayana Pada Patankaja
śrīti pramuṣṭati sayantra uṣṭavā
Kim duṣkarena pratupiṣṭa popratyā
Nānādi dhīrva yujayena palguna
Kim, what is the value?
Duskarai,
very difficult to perform.
Na,
our,
Pratubi,
with performances of sacrifice.
Tapaha,
with austerities.
Vratoi,
vows.
Dan adibhi,
with executing charitable activities and so on.
Ba,
or.
Yujayina,
with achieving the heavenly kingdom.
Palguna,
which is insignificant.
Na,
no.
Yatra,
where.
Narayana Pada Pankaja,
of the lotus feet of Lord Narayana.
Smriti,
the remembrance.
Pramushta,
lost.
Atishaya,
excessive.
Indriya Utsavat,
due to material sense gratification. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace of Vaicharanaranda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The demigods continue. After performing very difficult tasks of executing Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, undergoing austerities, observing vows and giving charity, we have achieved this position as inhabitants of the heavenly planets. But what is the value of this achievement? Here, we are certainly very engaged in material sense gratification, and therefore we can hardly remember the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. Indeed, because of our excessive sense gratification, we have almost forgotten his lotus feet. Please repeat. The demigods continued. After performing very difficult tasks of executing Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, undergoing austerities,
observing vows,
and giving charity, we have achieved this position as inhabitants of the heavenly planets. But what is the value of this achievement? Here we are certainly very engaged in material sense gratification, and therefore we can hardly remember the lotus feet of Lord Narayana.
Indeed,
because of our excessive sense gratification, we have almost forgotten his lotus feet. The land of Bharatvarsha is so exalted that by taking birth there, one can not only attain the heavenly planets, but can also go directly back home, back to Godhead. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:25, Yanti deva vratta devam pitrin yanti pitra vratal bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti smadya jino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship the ancestors will go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. People in the land of Bharat Bhasha generally follow the Vedic principles and consequently perform great sacrifices by which they can be elevated to the heavenly planets. However, what is the use of such great attainments? As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.21, Shini Puni Matyalokam Vishanti. After the results of one's sacrifices, charity and other pious activities expire, one must return to the lower planet systems and again feel the pangs of birth and death. However, one who becomes Krishna conscious can go back to Krishna. Yanti mat yajino pimam. Therefore, the demigods even regret having been elevated to the higher planetary systems. The demigods in the heavenly planets regret that they could not take full advantage of being born in the land of Bharatvarsha. Instead, they became captivated by a higher standard of sense gratification. And therefore, they forgot the lotus feet of Lord Narayana at the time of death. The conclusion is that one who has taken birth in the land of Bharata Bhasha must follow the instructions given personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yat katva narvitartanti tat dhamma paramam mama. One should try to return home back to Godhead. To the Vaikuntha planets, or to the topmost Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan, to live eternally in full knowledge and bliss in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Ki Jai. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Janan Janan Shalakavitakshura Meritandina Tashmaya Sri Guru. Jaya Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Tarata, Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama. So here again, slokas are glorifying Bharat Vasha, such an exalted planet, or mandala, whatever it is, or both. So the demigods, they are glorifying. The demigods have got the topmost human birth for sense gratification. and their glory, now they are glorifying the inhabitants of Bharat Bhasha. So then the question is raised, you'll glorify the demigods, you're all glorifying Bharat Bhasha as being such a great place, and you want to take your next birth here, but you take your next birth here, then it's described that you have to follow Vedic sacrifices while you're here in this world, which promote you to the heavenly planets. So what would be your use of your coming to take birth here? If you're going to perform ritualistic activities like you're supposed to do according to the Karmakanda Vedic sections, then you're going to come and you're going to perform sacrifices, and as a result, as Krishna says, those who worship the demigods, they go to the demigods. You're going to go back up there again. So they are saying the demigods, and what kind of prayers you're offering here, glorifying Bharat Bhasha. Because by performing these rituals, you're going to enjoy the heavenly planets. Sorry. You're going to enjoy the heavenly planets. You're going to do exactly the same thing after coming here. So, but the demigods are saying, no. Now we won't do that. We're seeing the position of Bharat Bhasha, and we won't do this whole process again of getting born on the planet Earth, and performing karmakanda activities to get promoted to the heavenly planets. So we're not going to be captivated this time by the flowery words of the language of the Vedas, as Krishna says. They're attracted, and what is the result of that? Up again they go to the heavenly planets and back down again. So they're saying, no, we won't do all that. We won't come down again. We won't go back again, come down and then go back to heaven, because that kind of birth is useless. We're here now and we're saying it's useless. So we won't want to come back again. So so that birth in heavenly planet is useless. The ritualistic activities that take you there, that's also useless. And the going to heaven is also useless. And even the heavenly happiness is also useless. They're coming to their senses, you see, by meditating on the glories of Bharatvarsha, the real purpose of life, to go back home, back to Godhead. So now they're presenting these prayers. We don't want to make the same mistake again. Why is all useless? Why is all useless, as they're saying? Because actually in the heavenly planets we do remember Lord Narayana. But because of the excessive sense gratification enjoyment, it's built for sense gratification, and such a long life you spend there of sense gratification, it's just a tendency to go along with it, so everything is good and nice. And we have a tendency to forget Lord Narayana's feet. We've almost forgotten. We almost forgot he's the lotus feet. So that's the difficulty with the excessive sense gratification. Because the demigods are saying the long life and excessive sense gratification, we get carried away and we lose the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. So but the idea is that they are glorifying the land of Bharatvarsha, and it's in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is glorifying. Prabhupada's also glorifying the first line in the purport. The land of Bharatvarsha is so exalted. So exalted, right? Taking birth there. You can go to higher planets, but better than that, you can go back home, back to Godhead. So it's such an exalted place. You see on the back of the lorries, "My India is great." You're right. "My India is great." But they don't know how great it is, actually. They think it's great because now we've got some roads. Do they have roads? Anyway, they've got some technology and they're building up India and things like that. This is what they're considering. Our India is great, like that. But they've just forgotten. The greatest thing is their culture, which they've forgotten. So how great it is, they do not know. But the greatest is that the culture of India is that it reveals the soul, it reveals the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it reveals our eternal relationship with God and takes us back to Godhead. This is the greatness of Bharatvarsha. So I just read something yesterday. I never understood. I didn't try and understand. No, I thought it was. It says that in it's a quote from the Vishnu Purana, and it says, "O great sage, in Bharatvarsha there are Shata, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali Yugas, but which do not exist anywhere else." I was under the impression that the whole of the universe was influenced by these changing. I've never read that before, but it's just the planet Earth, apparently. It's under the influence of these changes, cyclic changes, such as Treta, Dwapara, and Kali Yuga. what, I don't really know what the purpose is. Maybe someone knows what the purpose of these actual yugas are. Maybe it's an ethnic cleaning of the universe. So it gets more, as it gets more degraded, then they have different incarnations come according to the time and circumstance, and maybe it's just a cleansing of a process of cleansing the universe. I don't know if anybody knows, perhaps they can tell later. Why, what is the purpose of this Sakta Treta Dwapara and Kali Yuga? Anyway, the people on the earth planet are influenced by this, and outside of that, here and even on the Bhumandala, it appears they're not even affected by it. On these different Varshas, they worship the Lord, but they're deity forms. But here in Bharatvarsha, here the Lord personally comes. The other Varshas, they're heavenly or semi-heavenly. So here in this earthy planet, which is also called Bhumandala sometimes, or included, see, this is where Krishna always comes. Now Krishna, he can go anywhere in the universe, anywhere in the world, but he always comes to here. He doesn't go to Europe or America or the other side. Why? Because there's no culture there. Practically they've forgotten the culture. And the further away from India you get, the less the Vedic culture is followed. Practically you can see that if you ever traverse through the slowly. You will see the degradation. The further away from India you get, the more degraded it gets. And the further closer to India you get, the more pious it is and more religious. So, Krishna comes here, and because of they follow Vedic culture, and then he will not be insulted. Otherwise, he'd be insulted. He can go to Duryodhana's palace. Krishna goes to Duryodhana's palace. Duryodhana is his enemy. So when he comes to the palace, Atithi Seva. Atithi Seva means guest, unexpected guest or expected. Generally, Atithi Seva. So immediately, please come in, wash his feet, touch his feet, worship him, offer him. Do so many things to please him. This is the culture. He's his enemy. Your enemy you treat like this because it's a titi savory. Unknown guest is coming. So Krishna can move around up pretty okay because he's a titi Narayana, they say. You should treat him like Narayana. He says, for 3 days, Prabhupada said, after 3 days you can, if he overstays, he's welcome. If Narayana overstays, he's welcome. You can say, okay, 3 days is up. But generally, a guest comes from, he doesn't stay usually 3 days. But anyway, he's called Atithi Narayana. So you treat him exactly as Narayana. So Krishna doesn't have a problem here. He can move around okay where Varnashram is followed because he gets treated like Narayana. He is Narayana. But in the West, what's going to happen there? He goes to someone's house and you come back later, we're eating, and they close the door in your face. And there's no culture. So Krishna will be insulted. But here he doesn't get insulted in this land. So therefore he's always coming to Bharatvarsha. And Gagamuni also said this boy, when he was born, Krishna was born, taking the horoscope calculation, this boy in different ages, he assumes different colors. He was white in the Treta Yuga, he was Satya Yuga, red in the Treta Yuga, black. Now he's taken birth as a blackish form, and he takes a golden form also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he always appears in Bharatvarsha, although he can appear anywhere. But sometimes he sends his Shakyavesh outside a little bit. Lord Jesus is a Shakyavesh avatar. Muhammad Ali is also a Shakyavesh according to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. They were empowered to spread God consciousness. But like he sends his representatives. So generally Krishna doesn't come this far over. It's the mercy of his representative like Prabhupada. right in the middle of it. And comes out pulling all the other living entities who are stuck in the Kali Yuga and liberating them out. So So this is the glory of this planet Earth. It's known as the Karmasthana. You perform your karmas here. And these demigods, why they're there, because they perform the karma to get there. They did so many sacrifices and Vedic rituals and everything, dan, charity, and all these pious activities, and that's how they got birth in the higher planets. And Prabhupada said it's like a bank account. Your good activities, like a bank account. And you go up to the heavenly planet, and it's like you take a holiday, you go down to the Riviera or somewhere like that. You're having a holiday, you're having a nice time, and then you 10 days or 2 weeks you're allotted per year, for gracefully, you have a holiday for two weeks in the year, standard kind of. You find all your money's been spent. What you allocated for you're having a nice time on holiday, it's all been spent. Your bank account is finished now for your holiday budget. Your holiday budget is. So what happens? You go back to work again, back to the grind. So it's like that. The demigods, they get all these pious activities, all these credits. They go to the heavenly planet, and then they're getting all enjoyment. Not much suffering there, as a result of their piety. But when it's finished, then they have to leave that place and come back to this earth planet and start again. This is why this earth planet is so special. Everybody comes here after wherever they leave planets. If they don't go back to Godhead, wherever they are in the world, they'll come and take birth on this earth planet again. And start again. Here they can choose. You have a choice where you want to go in your next life. Yeah. The good ones with good karma are just paying it off. The ones with bad karma, they're in the lower planets, they're paying it off. But the earthly planet, here you can choose, you're making it. You paid off your good, you paid off your bad, you come back, you're more or less a fresh start. Now what do you want to do? Of course you've got all those impressions from previous lives coming, say you want to do this, you want to be pious, or you want to be a sinful person. That's all these. And then you chalk your way up. But you can change here, you can make a choice. So you can make out your own destiny. Krishna says, here, you worship the demigods, you go to the demigods. You worship the pitchers, you go to Pitraloka, you worship the spirits, you go to the spirits. So here's, the Bhagavad Gita is actually a book of destiny, because you can determine your next destination. No need astrologer. You can determine your next destination by what Krishna says. If you worship the demigods, you can go to the demigods. If you act in the mode of ignorance, you're going to get suffering as a result. If you act in the mode of goodness, you're going to get happiness as a result. So you can pick what you want. So you can determine your future. Bhagavad Gita is a book on destiny. So you can pick your own destiny by following Krishna's advice and instructions. Of course, the main instruction, go back home, back to Godhead, and there is no more birth, and this is a solution to the whole problem. But this is the uniqueness of this material world. Everybody thinks, wherever I am, it's unique, because I'm unique. That's why everything is, wherever I am, is a special place. But in Krishna consciousness, it is special. And everybody says their God is the only God, and we say, no, Krishna is the only God. We're the same as them, you know. They say that Hare Krishna is a fanatical. Everyone's saying their God is the only God. Now, and we say, yeah, our God is the only God also, so we seem like another. But it's a fact. It is. Due to lack of knowledge, people can't understand, you know. But so we say, I'm great, my country is great, wherever I was born, that's the greatest country. or my guru is the greatest because I chose, because he's my guru, he's greater than the other gurus, because I'm so great. So this is the disease of this material world. We're trying to imitate Krishna. So this we've got to overcome. And so Krishna, this is what the Bhagavatam is all about. How to overcome this disease, or this Purusha Bhav that we have. We want to be the enjoyers. Like these demigods, they got that position. Why they want to enjoy it? And their desires are fulfilled so much, they're enjoying so much, they forget the Lord Narayan. So this is the disease of this material world. But by the grace of Krishna, coming in his different incarnations through this material world, or this earth planet, practically exclusively, although he goes everywhere, he can go everywhere. Anyway, these different incarnations, when he comes here, these are more related to us on this earth planet. Krishna comes and he moves with the earthly people. So even if he appears anywhere else or in different places, it doesn't have much meaning to us anyway, because we don't know about it anyway. But we do know he does come here and he performs activities here, and we have the information that's going on here, and we can follow his advice here and go back to Godhead. So this is the, although it's miserable, miserable place, and we're just being washed around by the modes of material nature, then there's all the different miseries and birth, old age, disease, death. Then you've got the adi-bhautik, adi-devik, adi-atmic miseries coming from all different places. And Prabhupada said that on top of that, if it wasn't so bad already, on top of that, Kali Raj is there. And Kali Raj is simply stirring things up. It's bad enough anyway, all this Kali Yuga and all the disadvantages. And Kali Raj, he's making it, he comes and makes it even, he stirs it up. And he's a mean guy, this Kali Raj. He doesn't have to do what he does, he's nasty. He's like Maya Devi, she'll give you something, but she won't break you, she'll bend you, push you and bend you, but she won't break you. But Kali Raj, he'll break you. He's a nasty, nasty guy. So this is what we've got to face within Kali Yuga, or everything. But there is one glory in Kali Yuga, and that is the Lord, Supreme Lord appears as Lord Chaitanya, and also in the form of the Holy Name. So Veda Vyas is glorifying that Kali Yuga. Oh, where that Kali Yuga? When will that Kali Yuga hurry up and come? Oh, I cannot wait for this Kali Yuga. The disciples are saying, Master, Master, what are you saying? We're hearing all these things about Kali Yuga, so bad, so degraded. Why you are praising the Kali Yuga and anxious for its appearance? He said, no, it's special. This Kali Yuga, the Lord will come, merciful forms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Give Raja Prema freely to anyone and everyone. The Holy Name, he will incarnate as a sound vibration of the Holy Names of Krishna and give love of God freely. I cannot wait for this time of Kali Yuga. So this is mentioned a few places. This Kali Yuga is an ocean of force, but there is one glory in this ocean of force, and that is that the Supreme Lord appears as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Holy Name. So this is a saving grace, especially for those who are around at this time, that we can take advantage of this very simple process and go back home, back to Godhead, even at the end of this life, in one lifetime. We saw in Prabhupada's lecture on the Kodashi Day, they put the lecture of Prabhupada videotape, and the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, coming from sinful life, and how long will it take us to get rid of all the sin and go back to Godhead, Prabhupada? Immediately? Why wait many lives? Immediately? So this is the simpleness and straightforwardness of Krishna consciousness. It can be immediate. This is the Because we're dealing with what's already there. The soul is eternal, Krishna is eternal, the relationship is eternal. This is what we're dealing with. It's already there, so it can be immediate. It's not, although Krishna consciousness is not something we're trying to attain. It's already there. When we clean the mirror of the heart, we can see it's already there in the heart. It's not we're trying to attain something. It's already there, it's just covered over with all this moila. So this is the process of cleansing the heart. And of course the holy name is so powerful that even one time chanting the holy name can get rid of more offenses than a person can commit even. Jagai mati papai, jagai madai papai chilo. Nam hudare, tari shakshi jagai madai. Yes, that one. They are the evidence, the witnesses are jagai madai. No sin they didn't commit. But when they actually surrendered to Krishna completely, they were forgiven immediately. So, here it's an instructive lesson here in this verse, because it's the demigods. They've made it, actually. This is the actual goal of life. Pleasure is the purpose of life. Why anybody is doing anything? What is the purpose? What is the motivation? Happiness. Whatever you do in life, it's the same motivation. People even commit suicide, but for happiness. I'm miserable, let me take my life, I'll be happy. Whatever you do, happiness is the goal of life. Bahushan. God is one and he becomes many. What for? Happiness. His pleasure, his happiness. So we are the many and we are meant for God's happiness. This is the misconception that we are thinking actually this world is for my happiness. We're forgetting that our existence is for Krishna's happiness. We've forgotten that, like the demigods. And we are thinking this is for my happiness, this material world is for my happiness. So the material world is made like that under Krishna's order to fulfill our desires. So the purpose of life is happiness. And the demigods have made it. They got to the top. They got to the top. Of course, above that is Tapaloka. But who wants to go to Tapaloka? Who wants to perform austerities? Let's stay on the heavenly planet. We can do a lot of sense enjoyment here. In Tapaloka, they're all sense control. Here we can enjoy it like anything. But they're there, they made it to the top, but now what are they saying? Now they're coming to their senses, and now they're realizing the greatness of the people, this Bharatvarsha, and the insignificance of their enjoyment in the heavenly planets, and how it's all going to end one day anyway. So that this is the reason they're glorifying the Bharatvarsha. This enjoying spirit, it's in God, it's in us also, we have that enjoying spirit. So here they're telling how we to get free from this enjoying spirit. It's to serve Krishna for his pleasure. We want pleasure. Prabhupada said actually everybody is very expert at sense gratification. Generally you don't take a guru find out sense gratification. Everyone's quite expert in getting sense gratification. The Prabhupada said, you generally don't go to a guru for sense gratification because you're all very, very experienced in sense gratification. We've had billions and billions of lifetimes of sense gratification. We know very well how we can get sense gratification. We have experience in sense. Prabhupada said, now take that experience for getting your own happiness and apply it to Krishna. Your experience in sense gratification. Now, use it in, for Krishna sense gratification. How you can use that propensity for Krishna sense gratification? Well, this is what we're trying to do, transform our, or it's the lust which has been love is transformed into lust in the material world. So now we've got to transform it back into love of Krishna. By favorable devotional service to Krishna, this is the way it's achieved. So, yeah, so Krishna is saying, but then by this service, what happens by that? Then you get a taste, by experience, a higher taste of devotional service. Then it's easier to give up the lower taste, otherwise very difficult to give up. Restraint is one thing. I just heard from Satyadana Prabhu, my godbrother, about half an hour ago. And he said, he's quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sense gratification. Now we are trying to restrain our senses from the sense objects. This is our practice in International Society of Krishna Consciousness, where we get these rules and regulations. So we're restraining our senses. That's one thing. He said, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to actually renounce the, what's the word? The perspective of no more enjoyment, no more material enjoyment. He said that is the supreme renunciation, that is the supreme surrender. If you can actually surrender the perspective of there will be no more enjoyment. Daily basis we're restraining our senses. Maybe we're doing pretty good, sometimes not. But anyway, we're restraining us. But to restrain the perspective that I don't want any more sense gratification. That's difficult. He said that is the supreme renunciation and the supreme process of surrender. When we can surrender that perception, that concept that I'm not going to have any more sense gratification. The understanding, that's the very reason why we're in the material world. That's why we came here, that the deep-rooted desire is there. It's what we've been doing for billions of years. So to give up that conception, no more sense gratification. But Prabhupada said you have to become convinced. The members of the International Society of Krishna must become convinced that there is no happiness in this material world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Shama Veda Bhaktivrinda ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments?
Is there
preaching
going on in the heavenly planet?
Prabhupada said yes. Someone asked him, is Krishna consciousness in the heavenly planet? He said yes, why not? Do you want it? If you want, we can have. One time he said we can have. Another time he said yes. What's going on? Yeah. Well, there's an example of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur walking on the road here, Bhaktisiddhanta Road, with some of his disciples. Damodar Maharaj, he was our neighbor, we knew him quite well. He was telling a story. So Bhaktisiddhanta walking on the road, he stops, he looks up and he says, how degraded this age of Kali Yuga is becoming. So degraded. He said, even on Chandraloka, they are becoming so degraded. And then he carried on walking. And then Damodar Maharaj said, then we understood the meaning of Jagat Guru. He actually knew what was going on in different planets. And lots of his disciples, or at least some of them, say that he indicated, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati indicated that when he leaves here, he's going to go to Chandraloka, I believe. Chandraloka to preach. So it goes on in different planets. And another time Prabhupada said here in the lecture, he was talking about Nitya Leela, and he said the same thing. He said, my Guru Maharaj, he said he came here on a mission. And when it was complete, or when it was time, he left this place and he went to another place to do exactly the same thing, to spread Krishna consciousness. This is called Nitya Leela. So it's going on elsewhere also. Yeah, in different universes also. See, where Lord Chaitanya is performing his pastime from one to another, then there's a wake coming behind him. We're in the wake behind him. We're 520 years behind Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And see what we're doing to expand the mission. He's taken so many appearances in so many hundreds of universes since then. And every moment, Lord Chaitanya is taking his birth in Mayapur, somewhere in some universe or another. So all the activities are following. So it's actually, it's uncountable actually how many different places where Lord Chaitanya is preaching, and the follow-up is behind him also. Another example Prabhupada gave in Hyderabad, probably about 1976, and he was installing the deities there, I think Radha Madana Mohanji. And he was giving a lecture from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he said, so, he was talking of Nitya Leela also. He said, so tomorrow is Sri Janmashtami, and we are going to install Radha Madan Mohanji in Hyderabad. And he said, then the day after that, exactly the same thing will go on in another universe. He said, this is Nitya Leela. So even the activities of, I mean, it may not be the same names, or the same, may not be called Hyderabad, or but the same activity will go on the next day, probably. In another place, exactly the same activity will go on. So this is the wake behind Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his mission expands. Hare Krishna.
More religiosity and piety towards India, and I'm not sure I agree, because I don't think that religiosity is equated to piety. I don't think that's the same. Traveling this country and traveling around the world, I found that religiosity doesn't always equate to piety. And so if you could clarify what you mean by coming towards India, there's more piety, because that is, I'm confused. Religiosity and piety, equating the two. I am confused by that equation. I don't believe that it is the same. So maybe you can tell me and expound further on what you mean by, in India you'll find more piety. Because they're religious, they follow ritual, but how is that equated to piety? And perhaps I just don't understand your definition. Thank you.
Yeah, religion means to abide by the laws of God. And when we see what is God's order, like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's recommending activities in the mode of goodness, pious activities, transcendental activities. He's not recommending impious activities. So you can't really separate religion and piety. Or you can get charitable. Even atheists sometimes are charitable. But At night, it's true. Generally, they're related, although it can be the pious man, he may not be religious. He may be very charitable, but he may not even believe in God. So that's there also. But I've seen, I traveled two times through, like from Europe, overland, taking quite a time. And in England, you know, once a week affair, you got up in the church after Sunday till next week. When you move down in like Europe and Spain, they're much more religious. You can see there's much more, it goes on more, or you see more of a daily activities going on there. And when you come to Turkey and Iran, Afghanistan, they're doing their namaz 5 times a day, every day. Not only that, it's blasting it out on everything. And, you know, like when you come to India, then there's a temple at every street corner and everybody's got a name of Krishna or Govinda or some of the, you're hearing the names, you're hearing bells, you're hearing piety 7 days a week.
That's religiosity.
Yeah, that's religiosity.
But I guess I understand piety to be something beyond ritual, something more internal, an internal engagement. And the way that you, so to do ritual is one thing. So I guess what I'm saying I've seen is that there are very religious individuals who are very impious. And so ritual is one thing, action in the sense of ritual, an engagement in the sense of praying 5 times a day or doing these things. And then there's a moment of discord where it doesn't match. It is not in sync with one's piety. And so that's what I was wondering is, the logic was, the further you go from India, there's more degradation, because the closer you are to it, there's religion, there's piety. And that's where I find the disjunction, because sometimes I come to this country or to different parts of people who are very religious, very engaged in ritual, but there's not piety. So that's where I'm confused, because I see there is piety in many places where there may not be religiosity, and there is religiosity and piety that exists as well, but then there is the disjuncture, you know, where there is religiosity without piety. So I guess I was a little bit, I'm trying to grasp what you meant by towards India, there is this equation only, and I don't know if that's true, just through experience, watching people behave with people, very religious, they go maybe 3 times to temple, but their piety is lacking, and you can see that in their interactions with others. So, and this is a commentary I've heard from people who live in Mayapur, who live elsewhere, and they're saying, you know, what's going on with the people, themselves and others. So this is my question. That was going to be my question.
Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Bill Gates, he gives a lot of charity. It's a pious activity to give done. So much charity, he's the richest man, right? But they asked him, what about God? He said, I know absolutely nothing about God. Don't talk to me about that. I completely don't know. So, he's pious, but he's more or less, he doesn't know anything, more or less like atheist. For him, God doesn't exist. Prabhupada used, actually, he said the Vedic, the further away from India you get, the less the Vedic culture is followed, and the closer to India, the more the Vedic culture. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Oftentimes when a devotee is leaving the body, he does, all he does is begging for forgiveness to all the devotees he has offended. How will this remembrance of offenses to the devotees save him? Is this positive or negative? Kusha Das from Paris. Remember Kush? He does the Harinam Kirtan. Kusha. He's in Paris. He pulled me up the other day. Hare Krishna, Kusha Prabhu, where are you? How are you all? Greetings from Mayapur. You're in the land of Ulala. Careful, you're from the journey. Okay. No, yeah, it's a natural thing. We saw it in Srila Prabhupada. In his last days, he was calling all of his god brothers to him in Vrindavan. And he always asked them, no, please forgive any offenses. He said, I've had some success, a little success in my preaching, and I became very puffed up, and I've offended you in so many ways. So please forgive me. In the course of preaching, I know I've offended many of you. He was very humble, speaking very humbly. And his god brothers also, Prabhupada say, I'm so fallen, I'm patita, fallen. And the god brothers, no, you are patita pavana, you are the deliverer of the fallen. So there was a competition, they were glorifying each other. But it's something that the devotee does. Definitely he will do that. He will ask for any offenses he's forgiven, because he doesn't want to come back again. He wants to go back to Godhead. So he can. It's a natural thing. This means when you're leaving your body, you'll be remembering Krishna's lotus feet or Guru. It's not that you'll still be, forgive my offenses. At the point of leaving, no, that time you remember Krishna. it's a natural thing that everyone, we see most people do that, they ask forgiveness. So then they can go back with a clean slate, at least they... Hare Krishna Kush. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Thank you.